Blog Talk Radio.
Have you ever wondered why it's happening again?
Welcome to Mind Shifters Radio with your co-host, the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice, and his wife Jeannie. Michael and Jeannie share with you the wisdom of the ancient Aramaic internal process of forgiveness. They offer tools and support 5 days a week. They will support you in building a solid foundation within yourself to live in pure love. In Aramaic, Rachma. Michael is the author of Why Is This Happening to Me Again? For more information on Michael and Jeannie, please visit www.whyagain.com. And now your co-host, the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael and Jeannie Rice.
To the brightness within you and the truth that is rooted within me.
Well, if somebody's talking, I can't hear them. Jeannie, are you there? Michael, are you there? Somebody had to call in as host because I heard the intro.
I'm here. I called in as host. Are we having some technology challenges this morning?
I hear you now.
Oh, good. Or this afternoon. Do we have Jeannie with us?
I haven't heard her.
Okay, she must be having
kids. Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Oh, there she is. Hooray.
This is 2 days in a row. It's really crazy. I mean, the switchboard comes up and it shows I'm on there, but it won't let me click anything. And who knows? Welcome to the show. Did anybody give the intro?
No, not yet.
Okay, well, today is Wednesday, August the 20th, and it's Possibility Wednesday. Today it feels more like Stuck Wednesday, so let's do some worksheets around that one. Anyway, we welcome you to the show, and our call-in number is 646-200-4169, and press 1, and that puts you in queue to talk to us. And we would love to hear your comments and your questions, because that makes this your show. And this is Mind Shifters Radio with the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice, and you've already heard the voice of Dr. Tim Hayes. So welcome, guys, to the show.
Thank you, dear heart. We're delighted to be here. It is an honor and a blessing to get to introduce and expand the understanding of this awesome technology that comes out of the first century. I was just doing some editing on our Laws of Living course, and Dr. Tim Bacco, I don't know, a couple of years ago, I turned you on to some writing on a CIA website about perception. And so I've been kind of doing some more editing. I haven't gotten all those files integrated yet that you edited for me, but working on it and just doing some more reading on that CIA website, where it's amazing. The more I look at it, the more they have the brain cells for most of the Aramaic understanding, right down to the point where they recognize that an attitude of mind determines perception, which, of course, in the Aramaic Beatitudes is the word tuv, an attitude of mind, and that there's a certain tuv that you're required to have if you want to live as a human being. They don't inject that into that CIA information, but they certainly do have a tremendous amount of information on this process of perception. And I'm seeing that as time goes on is more and more of a key in Yeshua's work, that he's really teaching us how to keep perception clean, how to keep our window in the world open and clean and clear so that we get the highest and best possible. And the fact that he had the knowledge to tell us how to do this is just amazing. And, you know, all of the CIA analysts who put this material together on the CIA website, still, I mean, there's some great information there, But if you went from a scale of 1 to 10 and Yeshua's understanding of how to keep perception clean was a 10, all these experts with all their university degrees and all of that are maybe at a 6.5 or a 7, which is still pretty high, but a long way from understanding the keys to which attitudes of mind provide the highest and best information and which ones don't. Keep it clean. So how to make this window on the world that we have, this 9-bit mind. There's some Harvard research that we've talked about that says that in a time frame where 10,000 brain cells fire, a maximum 9 bits of information is what we get to see. And when we start talking about, you know, to me, one of the most important pieces of this work is an understanding of the process of denial and how disastrous it is to perception. Because the minute that we go into denial, and our definition of denial is when I speak or think a thought that indicates that I believe that somebody outside of us is the cause of something inside of us, then I'm in denial. And what I do is I dissociate from the part of my mind that I deny. I can't heal the part of my mind that I've denied. I was processing with someone last night who is here at the intensives and has gone through several layers. Has actually been here all summer and has gone through several layers. And in those layers, last night was in extreme pain, like all day in physical pain, and then to the point of extreme pain last night, we sat and he was literally writhing in pain. And talking about how a certain person in his life currently had hurt him. What happens, of course, when we are in denial is we put somebody or something between us and that which we want to resolve. So let's say, in this case, it's anger. So when I say, she really made me angry, I put her between me and my anger, and now I'm dissociated from my anger. Believing that she's the cause of my anger, I now cannot resolve my anger because I'm cut off from it. And it was just awesome to watch. I mean, literally a whole day of pain right into the purification or healing process. And then last night, literally writhing in back pain to the point where the face is grimacing, the neck is bent at a 45-degree angle, just trying to control and cope with the pain. And as the words were spoken of denial, you know, I was really, pardon me, actually, there was anger around it, but once we got past the anger, it was hurt. I was really hurt by what she did. And so I asked the standard question that I ask, and that is, well, how long have you known this person? Oh, 9 years. Okay, so let's go back 10 years ago. Did you know this quality of hurt 10 years ago? When was the first time you had that experience? Oh, no, I didn't. So I started going back ages. Well, how about 12? How about 8? How about 6 years? And it was just like, bingo, click, 8 years of age. And it was really cool to watch as he got in touch directly with his hurt, all of the language of denial left. It was an issue around father. But instead of saying, when I was 8 years old, my father really hurt me, which would be, again, putting father between me and my hurt, which means I now can't own or heal my hurt, what spontaneously was spoken was, yes, and with my father at the age of 8, I had a lot of hurt. Literally, there was instant relief from a whole day of back pain, and he got up from the chair, no more grimacing, and almost danced around, moving his shoulders and moving everything as though looking for some hurt, and a literal whole spinal hurt, physical, supposedly, totally, completely, 100% gone in 30 seconds. Now, I know you've shared, Tim, with me that how many times you've seen that sort of thing, how many times you've experienced it, as I have. But it just, it amazes me every time how somebody can be in what appears to be physical pain. And as long as we're in denial, we're dissociating from that pain. Whatever it is that we speak about, we put them between what's inside of us and us, what's inside of us and resolution. And the minute we can take them out of the equation and start to own that part of my mind, when I speak as though, well, you know, it's the way that I'm being treated that causes my pain. In essence, that's what he was saying, that she, the way she treated him, caused his pain. He couldn't resolve it. He was just locked right into it, and in really pretty excruciating pain. So it's pretty awesome to watch once more, just a slight shift of mind, a slight change. Ah, with my father at the age of 8, I had a lot of pain. Owning the pain, resolution that fast. Pretty cool process. And folks, whatever your pain is, you know, you say, well, you know, I bumped into this, I did that, I heard it, the doctor said I cracked it, the doctor said it's this, the doctor said it's that. Most of that is diagnostics. An agnostic is somebody who doesn't know, a dyad is too. We can get a couple of people to agree, and we've got a diagnostic. And most of it's a guess trying to explain what seems unexplainable. The truth is, you don't have a body, you have an energy system. We listen to Einstein. Einstein says, on such things as matter, we have been all wrong. What we have heretofore called matter is energy, energy whose vibrations have been so lowered as to be perceptible to the senses. There is no matter. Can't have a material cause in a non-material body. But you can have an energetic cause in an energetic body. And the energetic cause is I take in an energy, and it locks into what appears to be tissue, into my energy system, and forevermore I speak about how everybody else makes me feel that. And the minute that I can get past that and recognize that this is mine, then I can access what causes my pain. I can start to remove those nested frequencies. Now, you've heard me quote, probably most everybody's heard me quote several times, Max Planck, who, as he's receiving the Nobel Prize in Physics, says this, as a man who spent his entire life studying matter, I can tell you this much. There is no matter as such. Our entire world is made of succeedingly smaller patterns of vibratory fields, nested one within another, within another. So, folks, if you're in pain today, if you're in turmoil, if you're in upset, and you're thinking or talking about a situation or somebody else in your life, you're in denial. Go all the way back to the book of James 2,000 years ago. He says, stop your denial or you'll be at war with somebody. Stop your denial. Stop putting something between you and what's inside of you. And then you have the power to resolve what's inside of you. May not always be easy, but it's a pretty reliable system. If you'll consciously, consistently, persistently do the work of forgiveness, that is, going inside and removing what doesn't belong. The word forgive, in this culture we've been taught, is about letting other people off the hook because we've nested a frequency in us. If I forgive you in the culture sense, if I let you off the hook because I've nested a frequency of pain, rage, guilt, grief, sadness, whatever, in my structure, have I done anything to address or change what's in my structure? Nothing whatsoever. And the more I talk about you, the more I put you in between myself and what's inside of me. And I can't change or resolve what's inside of me if you're in between because I think it's yours. So to start to shift language is such a key part in the process. So we're delighted you're here to share that understanding with us. And if there's any support we can be, of course, our calling number is 646-200-4169. The lifeblood of the show is your questions. Dr. Tim, how do you be today? And do you have anything to share with us? Any thoughts on that introduction?
Yes, I'm doing beautifully well, thank you. And we had our support group last night, as usual, and in the middle of the support group, my phone buzzed, letting me know there was an email. So I checked it, and it was a patient from earlier in the day. And she sent me an email that said, when we did our work today, I didn't feel it helped much. But just as an update,
Now, the following three words are bold and all caps. No back pain. I drove home amazed and pain-free. And it's just a coincidence that the age is the same, but this patient got in touch with something that was going on in her life today that's very upsetting, and it went back to a similar time when she was 8 years old.
Mm.
And at that time, it was very turbulent, a lot of change, a lot of violence in her life and home. And at this point in time, she just got out of an abusive job, starts a new job on Monday, is supposed to close on her first ever ownership of a house in a few weeks. Lots of turbulence, lots of change, lots of unknowns. And she was suffering from back pain and wanted to know if we could do anything to work on that last night. And the connection she made between the turbulence and fear and negative outcome when she was eight and the turbulence and fear she has today was apparently enough to completely dismantle her back pain.
Awesome.
So that was...
That is amazing.
Yeah. That's in response to your question about the intro. And in the group last night, we watched the Mind Shifters and Introduction to Still Point Breathing. And at the end of the video, I asked if people had any comments or questions. We had several brand new people in the group and a number of people who'd been there quite a bit. And one woman said, well, I have an entire page of questions. And so that led to a very detailed discussion and lots of good questions about the process and trying to understand how to move forward in our lives and with our children and relating to things and owning the energies that we have nested and dismantling them. And at the end of the session, because there were so many questions and so many good things, points to clarify and people willing to ask questions, we got to be about 8:45 and we hadn't done a worksheet yet, but somebody was revealing that they had recently had a shift in their life so that instead of blocking and hiding all their emotions, now they're having a lot of intense emotions on a regular basis. And we just talked about the importance of keeping the breath moving. And then we introduced for the entire group one of the tapping techniques I know that can help keep the energy moving while the breath is going and make it possible to stay present long enough to use some of the other techniques like the reality management worksheet, etc. So it was a delightful group once again, and a lot of good questions, a lot of good people being willing to look at their own issues, and just a delight to be sharing with that group.
I hear you loud and clear. I hear you loud and clear. It is just so, I'll oftentimes say in a workshop, I just love to watch people in their pain and their turmoil, and people look at me like, what, are you some kind of a sadist? It's like, no, I know exactly what's going to happen now. Here we've got this space of love. You just opened something very traumatic for you, and you're going to walk out of here without it if you're willing to. I think that's pretty exciting stuff. But the first thing that happens is the feeling and the experience of what's there. Definitely part of the process.
Well, my vote would be to see if there's anybody with their hand up or anything in the chat room from Jeannie.
Well, let's check with her and see what the young lady says.
We do have a hand up. And so
cool.
It's area code 765. You're on the air.
Hi, Michael, Jeannie, Dr. Tim. This is
Sunny. Hey, young lady.
Hey, I didn't get on cue yesterday, which yesterday's show was fabulous for John. That was really, really great. I hope he gets back on there today. But my question for yesterday was you had mentioned quite some time ago, I do believe, about doing your work from a more secular standpoint so that everybody can get their hands on it, regardless of, you know, if they have a bias or anything like that. Is that not correct?
We're going for every mind, heart, and being on the planet. Anything we need to do that, that's what we're doing.
Okay. I just wondered how progressed you were with that work, or if it was already available. Just
I'm not sure what you mean by with that work.
The more secular in vocabulary, the less, I don't even know how you would do that, Michael, but you're the man.
I'm going to be doing two different versions of Wives, if that means me again, but that's sometime off in the future at this point. That's something that I'm working on.
Okay, that was the question. And then without too much story, and we'll get caught up in real time at some point, Michael. I, in my symptoms of healing, am not getting past headaches, and they're quite debilitating. I don't believe they're what people call migraines. But
you drink much water?
I live on water, yes, distilled water.
Distilled water, because
yep.
So then the next thing that I would invite you to look at doing worksheets on headaches would be self-invalidation. I've seen over the years a deep correlation between headaches and self-invalidation. So
yeah,
that might be worth looking at.
That's the information I've come up with, too, and that's why I don't know how much we can do on the show, because I took the lid off of Pandora's box on the mother issues and found some pretty serious stuff. And it's been quite beautiful, very profound, and not fun, but it's brought its gift of a greater understanding and awareness and compassion for others. But just, I don't know where I am with that. And they do move from the nape of the neck to the front, very front forehead. And then it wants to mess with the sleep matters. So I don't know what I'm doing to myself.
You know, I would, when you open up Pandora's box, as you acknowledge you have done, you're going to get to look at whatever's in there. And that's not a two-day, two-week, two-year, 10-year process. That's a lifetime of work. And so I suggest that you continue with your work. If you're seeing some neck involvement, you might want to just touch in with a chiropractor or an osteopath and see if some manipulation might assist. But, you know, it's a matter of putting one foot in front of the other and doing the next layer and the next layer and the next layer. That would be my most my most direct input.
Right. You're getting a little garbled, and I don't know if it's just with me, but for the future callers, I don't know if you've moved or what's going on there.
Yeah,
but,
it sounds like there's an echo in it. I was just getting ready to send you a text that you just went very muffled.
Is that better now? Is that better?
It sounds like there's an echo in the background, like it's coming through twice or something.
I don't know. Nothing I can do here. I'll try hanging up and calling back in again.
Okay. Very interested, and Jeannie, maybe you and I can carry out with this on the female aspect of things with the women's work that you do. It's something I'm overlooking, because these effects do end up being like the left side of the body primarily, and it is mother issues. Where would you take me there? Because in the worksheet process, maybe there's still some adequacy stuff that comes up, but not making excuses, and I'm going to say that straight out. The headaches make it very hard to be clear. You know where I went with that?
Okay, so one of the things that I found really powerful in dealing with mother issues, especially, you know, if that's a power person, is to write their story from a first person. So, in other words, I might start out and say, I would write it as if I were her. Okay. Do you have your computer or something going in the background? Because Michael's not on, and I hear it echoing again.
No, the only thing I have a window air conditioner that I turn off and on.
No, it's actually like a repeat, like I'm saying something, and then I can hear it coming through the phone. But anyway, so I would write her story like, you know, when I was 3 years old, my father died. Now, this is her, not me, but I'm writing it as if I am her. And so then I would go on and say, you know, I really felt a great loss because, you know, I just lost a parent. And, you know, my mother had to work and raise us three children and you know, and just go on and write her story as if you were her, how you would feel. And you've probably heard enough of her story that you can, you know, gather that and had to walk to school uphill both ways, you know, or whatever, and write her story from her, what you would feel she would feel like. And that was a great opening for me to see her in more compassion.
Right.
And just doing that and seeing her from her own eyes instead of from yours that are maybe coated with pain could help you to release some of that you're holding.
Right, and I don't, that's where I'm maybe a little stuck, and I don't want to consume you on the show because there's so many other folks that need to get on here, too. I don't know that I have a mother power person. I have just done so much deep work with the generational stuff that much of what I am processing comes from my mother's side of the family. I mean, my mother was not, I lost my mother when I was 18 and old. My foster mother, you know, I've worked through, I believe, most of my stuff there. It's coming down to just the, maybe just female engendrement for myself and maybe the generations of women.
Yeah, and it could just be genetic and, you know, it could be, you know, through a lot of our history, there are, you know, women who feel inadequate and that's passed on.
And that word just is like in italicized letters. Okay, I'll just keep processing that, and I guess it's just really much to do to free ourselves from that, and I'm hoping I'm doing this right, kiddo. Do we have Michael back?
Awesome. Yes, we do have him back.
Okay, I thank you, and... yeah, just approaching it from every angle, and like I say, with the clarity is power, and that's being a little confounded with this stuff. So, I thank you very much.
Well, and one of the things to look at is how much of your life have you spent in this confounded space, and your healing process is going to look like retracing going back through that. So, if you look at, you know, from day one, how much time you spent in confusion, in not knowing what was happening, then your healing process is going to look exactly like that as you move that energy back up. So I think you're right on track. It comes a point where you just have to keep putting one foot in front of the other and moving forward. And it sounds like that's what you're doing. So you have our support.
Yeah. Thank you. I kicked the hornet's nest. Praise God, you're there.
Well,
thank you so much.
Very just
good.
Keep breathing as her love says. Hornets heal in place of love.
Yes, thank you. Oh, I have a car in process, Michael.
Awesome. All right.
There you go. All right.
All right, blessings. Take care, bye-bye.
Thank you.
So call in number 646-200-4169. If you have a question for us, if you push 1, that puts your hand up. She will introduce you. Good morning. Do we have anybody with a hand up or anything happening in the chat room to be aware of? And
we were just talking.
Peacemaker comes to mind as well during the process. And just if he's on, if he's with him, we just say hello and send our love and hope that all is well in your world.
Now, Peace is at the doctor's right now. I sent him a text a moment ago and just told him that we were holding the space. So we won't hear back from him until after he has his procedure done. So we hold the space for him. And the conversation in the chat room is just about, you're still very muffled, but the conversation in the chat room is just about letting go of things that we want to blame on someone else, that someone hurts us or makes us angry or whatever, which is what you were talking about at the beginning. And as long as we say, like the person that you were using the example of that's here on the property and he was saying, she hurt me, and once you got him to change that and look at that, because as long as you're saying they are the ones that are causing, then you're not able to really look at the situation and not really able to change it. Correct?
That's it. That's the key to it all.
And thank you, Jim, for your explanations. He's on the other line, and he's in the chat room, and he's doing some very good explanations of changing that wording and that verbiage so that you can accurately look at what's going on inside and make that change.
Awesome. So if you've got a question for us, I don't think there's anybody in the phone queue, so if you put your hand up, then you'll be next in line. We'd love to hear your question. 646-200-4169. In the meantime, I'll just share that we have an intensive starting Friday. We're doing a 16-day Laws of Living, and that will start Friday evening. And so if anybody's ready to move your work to the next level, we're going to have quite an awesome group here. We've got 9 and perhaps 10 teachers of this work, active teachers, coming together for this particular intensive. And, you know, when you're in the field of people who are doing their work, it's pretty awesome in how it supports. And so anybody who's ready to take your work to the next level, you might want to get in touch when we finish the show and get yourself set up to come and play, to come and be part of the process. 646-200-4169, our calling number. We'd love to hear your sweet voice. What's on your mind? How can we support you? What's next in your world? Dr. Poon, are you seeing any patterns? Usually we get you to share the patterns that you're seeing. Are you seeing anything in that regard to perhaps share with us and expand upon a little bit?
Well, not a pattern yet today, but it came to mind that I hadn't mentioned. We actually picked the Mind Shifters last night.
Right.
And, you know, in the lecture you say that just before doing that part of the exercise, you had asked that people be guided to pick numbers that are relevant for whatever issue they're working on. And so last night I did the same thing and asked people to just take a moment and think about it and pick numbers. Or if they had done it during the video, to let me know what their numbers were. And the uncomfortable laughs and groans and clear connections between issues people have been working on for weeks in the group and talked about, and which mind shifters were chosen by them completely, and I say this in quotes, randomly, unquote, is just mind-boggling.
It is, isn't it?
There was a woman there who has repeatedly said that it is not comfortable for her to think about a newborn child. That is not a loving thought. Her birth was traumatic. Other people's children holding them is not comfortable, et cetera, et cetera. And she got one that said that her birth was a joyous, loving experience. and it just went on. I mean, there were at least 5 or 6 of them, to my recollection, around the group where, as I was reading the mind shifter to them, they were either laughing uncomfortably or groaning or both. So So there's a tremendous power in that tool, but in all of the tools that you make available on the website. And, you know, if nobody else has a question or a hand up, maybe reviewing some of the other tools, because each of them is a powerful way to get in touch with what I hold inside my mind at the unconscious level that's negatively affecting me day to day.
Well, one of the things that you trigger, you know, as I do that process and ask people to pick a number to select which mind shift they're going to use rather than using the intellect, and it's a process that I've used for over 30 years now, and it always leads people to exactly the right mind shifter, and especially in a group of people who know each other. We're doing an intensive, you know, we might be day 5 when we do that, so you know, most everybody kind of has a sense of everybody's issues, and it's always hilarious. I mean, there's quite often just a roar of laughter that goes out when a person selects the mind shifter that is exactly what they've been talking about earlier in the day, as with that woman you just said. The other thing that strikes me is I've had times when I've had a group of, let's say, maybe 20 people in a still point breathing session, and 7 or 8 or 9 out of the 20 pick the same two numbers. Now, I'm not a mathematician, but basically we have a system where I've got a page of mind shifters. There are 39 mind shifters on the page. 3 groupings, 1 to 3, and you can download this sheet from the website. In fact, why don't you just go ahead, everybody that's listening, pick a number from 1 to 3. First number that pops in your mind, 1, 2, or 3, and then pick a second number, 1 to 13. First number from the range of 1 to 13 that pops into your head. Now, you've got those two numbers. You can go to whyagain.org, click the bullseye in the middle of the page. That'll open a series of links. If you look down the list, you'll see the mind shifter sheet. You look on the page, there are 3 different groupings, number 1, number 2, number 3. So if you took 2, 12, let's say, so you'd go to the second grouping of mind shifters and then go to number 12, and that'd be the mind shifter to work. But I've seen, you know, 9 or 10 people pull the same mind shifter out of a group of 20. And, I mean, the odds against that are astronomical when you realize the number of different combinations that there are. Astronomical. And yet I've seen that happen. And to me, it's evidence for it. It's not random. I've seen it happen too often for it to be random. And also, I oftentimes will see people who have similar issues, and they're the ones who will pick the same two numbers. There's nothing random about it. There's definitely an energetic link there. And when you start working with, and that tool called the mind shifter is a written tool that we suggest what you do once you've got the mind shifter, once you look at that page and pick out your mind shifter, what you do is you take a piece of paper and you draw a line down the middle of the page or a little to the left of center, and you write the mind shifter on the left-hand side of the page. And then on the right-hand side of the page, everything that comes up in response to it. So what a mind shifter might look like for this lady that Tim just shared about might look like, you know, my birth was a joyous and wonderful experience. And so what might come up in her mind is, no, it was terribly painful. My mother tried to abort me. Oh, being born was just ugly and painful. Oh, I never want to do this again. Oh, it must be a terrible thing for any baby to go through. What a horrible experience being born. Childhood was terrible for me. And then I might run out of things, and so I'd write the mind shifter again. My birth was a gentle, wondrous experience. What are you talking about? I was hated as a baby. There was nothing but hate and strife in our household. Nothing else comes into mind. I write the mind shifter again. Gee, my right leg is starting to hurt. There's excruciating pain in my right leg. I write that down on the opposite side of the page. So basically what I'm doing is I'm taking advantage of the fact that the mind works by the law of resonance, energy exchange. And each time I write the mind shifter, I'm getting the brain cells to fire that I've been hiding from myself. And then when the unconscious part of my mind starts to become active enough, I'll become aware of that content, and bang, there it will be on the page. We suggest you do it in writing because when you access unconsciousness, the tendency is to go unconscious. We want to support you staying conscious and moving through those things. So that's the whole idea of using a mind shifter, and we invite you to give that a try and maybe call into the show tomorrow, the next day, and share your results. What happened as you wrote? And, of course, when you ask someone, you know, we ask that question, we've had a few people who when I've asked them to hold a newborn child and describe the essence of the newborn, they just go, oh, hateful. They say, well, wait a minute now. Is that the essence of the newborn, or is that what was going on for you? I've had other people who say things like, oh, terrible responsibility. That's got nothing to do with the newborn. You're in fear about what it's going to cost you to raise your child. That's yours. That's about you. And it's interesting how many people can't distinguish between what's going on inside of them and what's actually out there. And as you actually tap into the newborn, you find there is this awesome active presence of love. And so some people answer the question, not the actual question that's asked. They answer the question as to how was I feeling when I held the newborn? What was going on inside of me? And, of course, if I think of a newborn and what comes up in me is pain, that just says that I've got some pain to do around that particular, or some work to do around that particular pain, to move that out of my structure. And again, the forgiveness process is about being brave enough and skilled enough with the use of the tools to access those painful dynamics and literally throw them out, literally remove them. When you think forgiveness, think remove, as opposed to thinking let somebody off the hook. Remove your fear, remove your hate, remove your rage, remove your sadness, your grief, your hatred, your vengeance. Remove those things, and you will be free of them. If you never learn to remove them, then I guarantee you will get to live the title of my book, Why Is This Happening to Me Again? Only you'll probably say it a little differently. You'll say, why are they doing this to me again? Because when you hold an energy within you that you refuse to resolve, that you refuse to own, that you refuse to come into conscious relationship with and remove, then you send a directive to all the world to continue to do that to you. And on an energetic level, guess who's coming to dinner? It's always going to be the person who knows exactly how to do that, whatever that is, to you. And when you recognize that, then you start to change your language and you say, oh, my God, they didn't do that to me. They did that for me. They did that in order to show me the part of my mind that I need to heal. Oh, what a gift this is. Then the process gets very, very exciting, and things really start to move on a whole other level. Any thoughts on that, Dr. Kim?
Well, simply that's been a very effective practice for me, and you know, all the different ways that I can dig into following up every time I have a conscious, logical goal and I find an effort, an intention, or a pull, or an actual action taking me in another direction, I realize, okay, this must be my old material, my unconscious, that's been activated, because what I logically said I wanted to do is go, you know, straight down the road here. And I find myself with the desire to take a left or a right. And then I go and I use the tool like the Mind Shifter or the Reality Management Worksheet. And it isn't too long before I uncover a pretty powerful dynamic that prior to using the tool, I wasn't even aware of. And then with the tools, I can dismantle that false belief or that old traumatic energy, or, and sometimes the most relieving thing is just being aware of it, like you were talking about the gentleman last night, actual putting my conscious awareness in touch with the source, it just dissolves it. There's nothing left to do. The urge
is the most awesome thing in the world, isn't it?
Yeah, it's fabulous. It's fabulous.
And, of course, why does that work? What I've come to in 45 years of doing this work is, I ran across a quote a couple of years ago from a man named Rumi, who's a 13th century mystic. His conclusion was the same. And what Rumi says, and he's writing this in the 13th century, is that in the presence of love, all pain becomes medicine. If I can bring love, conscious, active, and present in my mind, at the same time as I open the space to access my hidden pain, my hidden pain begins to instantly dissolve. It doesn't matter how long standing it is. It doesn't matter how deep it is. It doesn't matter how terrible it is. If I can bring the active presence of love and at the same time as that's in my mind, bring forward what I've been hiding from myself. And again, I've got to come out of denial. I can't put something or somebody between me and what I need to heal, or I can't heal it. When I remove that person in the middle, when I stop talking about them as having hurt me, and I realize, see, Charlie, what you just said really brought up a lot of hurt for me, you're not in between me and my hurt anymore. Now I can bring my hurt forward, and in the active presence of love, guess what happens to my hurt? It literally disappears. I really enjoyed the worksheet that we did the day before yesterday. And when we got to the point of the core of the forgiveness process with, again, I believe his name is John, where all of a sudden, where it was all pain and trauma for him, all of a sudden he's literally feeling physically an opening in around his heart area and a softening. You know, it's just amazing. And we tend in this culture to be very materially oriented and think it's all about the physical. When, you know, for a long, long time, we've known that physical isn't even part of the equation, that there is no physical, that there's only this energy system. And as I recognize that and I follow the principles, you know, you can't take the simplest machine and make it work if you don't know the principles by which it works. You know, if you think that the radiator is the steering wheel on a car, you're going to have one heck of a time going down the road. It's going to be a really, really bumpy ride. If you think that your mind is designed to function in hostility or fear, then you've got the same thing as you're trying to hold onto the fan and drive the car with the fan blade. You can't do it. You've got to know how the device works. And to me, this is one of the most awesome things that Yeshua had to offer us 2,000 years ago. They turned his work into a religion, and it isn't. It's just, here's how it works. The reason why six of the world's major religions came out of the Aramaic language has nothing to do with it being a religious language. The religions are something men created. What Yeshua created was a body of work that taught us how to drive the car. No, take your hands off the fan blade. Here's the steering wheel. Put your hands on the steering wheel. No, you don't sit on the dash and drive looking out the back window. That won't work. You got to know how this thing works. If you don't know how it works, if you try to sit on the dash and steer the car by looking out the back window, you're going to have a really rough ride. If you don't have a clue that there are filters in your mind that keep your mind on track, there are filters in your mind that guarantee that your perception will be defiled and your guidance will be garbage, if you don't know that, then you go through life, bump, bang, smash, crash into things that there's no reason to bump, bang, smash, or crash into. Once we start to grasp that, this is just an instruction set for how to operate a human mind, human emotions, a human body, human genitals, human food systems, the earth that we walk on. These are just understandings of how the eternal forces that operate in this universe operate. And you know, one of the most disappointing things for the ego-centered person who thinks they should be running the world is that none of those things bend one iota to the way you want it to be. I don't care how much you think you're so great and you're so wonderful and you know how it all works. If you're getting bumped and bruised in your life and you're in pain and turmoil and trauma and you don't know how it works, and to open the space to be willing to hear, at least, and you know, it doesn't require believing anything. All we're suggesting is here. There's a thing called Rachma. You want to keep a condition called love in your mind when you think of the Creator, when you think of neighbor, and in doing that, in being able to do that, you'll be able to maintain your human life. Give it a try. Try looking through the eyes of love and see what happens. Instead of looking through the eyes of, oh, everybody's out to get me. Look, they're beating up on me again. They're picking on me again. Oh, look, they won't listen to me. Oh, look what they're doing to me again. Stop. If you look through the hostility and fear filter, it's like grabbing the fan on the car while the engine's running and trying to steer it. It just will never work. These eternal forces, or the course that we're about to start on Friday is called Laws of Living. And it looks at how these eternal forces operate in our minds, in our bodies, in our relationships, in our finances, in our food, in our lives. What are the laws? What can we establish as the way it works? And, you know, if I say to you, no, don't sit on the dash and look out the back window to try to steer the car. Here, sit in this seat. It's got nothing to do with me being right or you being right. It's just the way you drive a car. And the car isn't going to bend to your will until you sit in the seat and look out the front window. As long as you sit on the dash and looking out the back window and try to steer the car, you're going to have a lot of crashes. That's because that's how it works. So it's not a matter of belief. It's a matter of, you know, if you're getting bumped and bruised and you find yourself having to wail at this person and wail on that person and rage at this person and tell that person what's wrong with them, because you're in upset, if you stop for a minute and take a breath and start looking through the eyes of love, maybe things will look different. Maybe sitting in the driver's seat and looking out the front window will serve you. And so that's the only invitation we have is, if something isn't working real well, if you're in pain or turmoil or always have a reason for a complaint about somebody, somebody's always picking on you or whatever, you're always in the victim role, then we invite you to come into a different mindset. And as you come into that different mindset, then you'll see things totally and completely differently, and things will work differently. It's pretty exciting stuff. So, Jeannie, do we have anything happening in the chat room or anybody with a hand up? We're down to about 7 minutes or so.
We do not have a hand up, and the conversation in the chat room is kind of bouncing in several directions, but one of the things right now that we're talking about is, and Jim gave a good example of the flight attendant when they say, be sure to put your own mask on first before trying to help somebody else, and talking about taking care of yourself. And when situations come up, whether it's with, you know, there's a couple people in the chat room that are speaking about their spouses and bringing up issues for them. So whether, you know, it's trying to take care of a spouse or a child or whatever, if you're not taking care of yourself, you're going to burn out, and then you're not going to be any good to them or yourself.
For sure. Be finitely. So if you push one, if you're in the phone queue and you push one, you will be next in line, no waiting. If Jeannie had just presented what she's presented in the show and talked to Bill and myself, oh, go for it. Cool.
Okay, 864, you're on the air.
Hey, Jeannie and Michael, it's Marianne. And I woke up So I wanted to share that I woke up with the most amazing sense of enthusiasm about leaving for Heartland. I don't think I've ever had this level of excitement to go to Heartland. So I just wanted to share that. So I'm making
awesome.
It mean that there's... Yeah, I'm making it mean that there's going to be a very deep level of healing for me. So that's part of my excitement.
Well, I think this particular, we've never had 9 active teachers in the same room at the same time doing a course here. And especially with it being Laws of Living, and several people, as you have done Laws of Living 2 or 3 times, I think that the space and the movement is going to be absolutely monumental. I'm looking forward to it too.
Well, okay. Thanks so much. I'll see you in a couple of days.
Okay. See you then. Blessings. Bye-bye.
Bye.
All right. Well, that's cool. We'll be delighted to see you here, Marianne. And Marianne's a teacher in North and South Carolina, and she's going to be joining us on Friday. And so we hold the Travel Angels Move with you, Marianne, and we'll look forward to seeing you on Friday. And so it's just a few minutes. We've got time for one question. You're on the phone, and you haven't put your hand up yet, and you're thinking about and contemplating your question and maybe saying to yourself, my voice might be a little shaky, I'm nervous. Well, let go of it. Just ask your question. I promise it will be worthwhile. And if you want to join Marianne and the rest of the crew on Friday, We've got a 60-day Laws of Living. And again, Laws of Living looks at the idea that laws, you know, many people will say to me, Michael, well, just write them down for me. Let me have a copy of them. Well, if we were dealing with the world of kings, the kings would say, thou shalt not do this, thou shalt do that. You better do this, you better not do that. And I have a big gun, and if you don't obey, then you're in trouble. That's not how Laws of Living work. Laws of Living do not have to do with the rule of a superior, as kings would have you believe. Laws of Living are the result of how the eternal forces in the world work. And as opposed to being written down and you better obey or require obedience, there's no obedience required with law. You either harmonize with it or you don't. You know, the law of gravity happens. If you step off a cliff, the law of gravity doesn't say, oh, I'm going to get you for stepping off. Boy, when you hit the bottom, I'm going to break your boat. There's no punisher, no law of gravity that says you disobeyed me. Gravity happens. You drop to the bottom and, you know, depending on the height of the fall, at the bottom, bones break. It's all law. It's all the way the forces work. That's true in relationships, in sexuality, in emotions, in the way the mind works, in the way the so-called body works, in the way, I mean, even growing our food works. It all works by law. And when we violate the law, or should I say we disharmonize with the law, because strictly speaking, you can't break a law. It is impossible to break the law of gravity. If you step off the cliff, you don't have a choice. Doesn't matter how angry you are with the law of gravity. If you step off the cliff, there's only one way you're going. You don't have a choice about it. Tomorrow morning when you get up, I don't care how much time you spend through the night saying, in the morning when I get up, my feet are going to go to the ceiling. In the morning when I get up, my feet are going to go to the ceiling. In the morning when I get up, my feet are going to go to the ceiling. I guarantee when you get up in the morning, your feet aren't going to the ceiling. They're going to go to the floor. That gravity happens. You don't have a choice about it. Your choice is, do you harmonize with it, or do you come into avoidable collision with it? When you collide with these eternal forces, the forces do not sustain even the least fracture. They are not broken. They cannot be broken. But, oh boy, the bumps and bruises from coming into those avoidable collisions with law, ooh, it hurts. But it doesn't hurt because we're being punished. It hurts because we've fallen out of harmony with those forces. So our study for the next 16 days, starting on Friday, is going to be all about what are these forces, how do we harmonize with them, what are the words that transfer an understanding of how these forces operate within the world. You know, if you listen to Vladimir Lenin, the originator of the communist philosophy, says, the way to destroy a culture is change the meaning of its words. So when the word law, as opposed to the result of eternal forces, was changed and defined as the rule of a superior, all of a sudden people couldn't understand or comprehend how to work with this thing called law, and they were bumped and bruised and beaten everywhere they turned. And it's because they came into avoidable collision with the law. As you understand how these eternal forces operate, you understand, you know, where to sit when you drive the car, how to drive the car, and how all of the forces involved operate. That's what Laws of Living is about. We're going to spend 16 days delving into that, and each day, or just about each day, we'll introduce a new tool, a new how-to for cleaning up the parts of the mind that have gone against harmonizing with the law and bringing us back into harmony. So it's pretty awesome. You know, we've done this course in the prison system, and we cut recidivism by 95%. 95% of prisoners, once they started to understand Laws of Living, never went back into prison. Marriages heal, bodies heal, minds heal, relationships heal, finances heal. All sorts of things shift and change. We invite you to consider coming and joining us Friday. We've got a small group, so there is room, and we'll start Friday evening. In the meantime, we invite you to bring a stranger to the show tomorrow and create the best years yet of your eternal life. It's an awesome gift to give the world. Blessings. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to Mind Shifters Radio with the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice, and his wife, Jeannie, who present the internal Aramaic process of forgiveness. Michael and Jeannie are here every Monday through Friday on Earth Angels Radio. For more on Michael and Jeannie, please visit www.yagain.com. That's www.yagain.com. WHYAGAI.